You, God, for your wisdom and for your help and for your strength, God, to be a light in darkness, shining forth your love, God. How we love you, Jesus, how we honor you, how we thank you, God. You are so wonderful, God. You are so worthy to be praised. You are so worthy that we would gather together and lift our hands and lift our voice unto you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God.
There is nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living home. Your presence, Lord, I tasted the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes weak and my sin is undone.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we welcome you. Your presence is here. Thank you, God. We have opportunity to be here. Hallelujah. 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 While you're standing on your feet, we can give the opportunity to go around, greet one another, shake hands, hug necks, whatever's appropriate. Tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord as we sing some more to the Lord. Thank you for standing. I do want to remind you this coming weekend, regular services. You can be seated. Did I say you may remain standing? Thanks for standing. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I didn't follow that up, and so some of you are like in limbo. Do I stand up? Do I sit down? What do I do? You may be seated. That was kind of funny when I opened my eyes. I was like, you know, it's just okay. Well, you may be seated now that you're all seated and everything's good. This coming weekend is Father's Day, and so we will be having a special timeout on Sunday morning during our 11 o'clock service to celebrate our fathers. And we will not have, there will not be a PM activity here at the church on this coming Sunday. But we will have the two-session format on Sunday morning with our Sunday school lesson at the beginning. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll begin our evangelistic worship service. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. And then 2 weeks from this Sunday is our big Faith Family Fireworks special event happening July 1st. The way the city of Sandwich does it is whatever Sunday is closest to the 4th, that's when they have their fireworks display. And if it's a Wednesday like it is this year, they move it to the Sunday before. And so on the 1st, July the 1st, we will be gathering together 5 o'clock. We'll be here first for our Sunday morning service, and then at 5 o'clock, we'll be gathering there at the Davis's residence, and we'll have a good time together. We'll have sign-up sheets for responsibilities and dishes and all that good stuff here to come, hopefully this Sunday, and that way you can start signing up for all those different things. It takes a lot of work, takes a lot of people willing to help us. Obviously, we don't want to leave the Davis residence in disarray, and so we have to pick up and make sure everything is taken care of. But we are looking forward to that, and want you to invite family and friends to come and be a part of that time together. Also, camps are underway. They have already, I believe, the youth camp is already going on, and then here in the next couple weeks, they'll have kids camp and then camp meeting or family camp, as they call it. So a lot happening during the summer months, and I know I'm looking forward to camp, because that means for me, I'm going to have about a week in between when my kids get back. So we're going to have a week, and then they're going to be gone again for another week for kids camp. At least two of the three are. And but they're excited about it, looking forward to it. And I know that it will be good for them. And so we encouraging you, if you do not know those dates, we are trying to put those up on the announcements. They are on the Illinois District calendar. You can go on the website, and you can populate that calendar in your own phone and know what district dates are happening when. We do that when we get together for a department heads meeting, just so you can know what is happening when as it pertains to the Illinois district. We're going to take some knees to the Lord in prayer. If you have a prayer request, why don't you slip up your hand real quick, and we'll acknowledge this, Rose. All right. Let's remember her in prayer, certainly. What do you have? Sister Christy? Yes, certainly. Certainly. Steve? Anybody else? All right. Certainly. Prayer, Brother Davis, and that. Christina. Yes. Can you remember Sister Doris? Oh. Yes? All right. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. What a great testimony. What a great praise report. Thank you for sharing that. That is awesome. Why don't you stand? Good to go to prayer after a great report like that and God's healing power. Amen. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you. And we can come before you in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of your healing power at work in this place, God, through your people. Lord, we thank you, God. You are such a good God, a caring God, a loving God. And we thank you that we can come before you in prayer, believing and trusting in you to work in these individual needs and circumstances. Lord, you're a healer and you're a help. You're a strength that we can depend upon, God. And we can come to you concerning every individual need, God, be it big or small. We know that you are able to help and to heal, God, to encourage. Whatever the need is, Lord, you're able to meet and supply those needs. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth, for all that you are and all that you do. Jesus, in your precious name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Hallelujah. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I got it all together that time. We are continuing in our study entitled Saving Truth. Saving the Truth That Saves Us. And hopefully this thing will work. I may need a battery, gentlemen, because this thing's not lighting up. You got it? No? Yes? Can you give me back control by giving me a battery? Saving the Truth That Saves Us. We're talking about the importance of saving truth. And essentially what we're talking about is the truth as we understand it according to the Word of God, the objective truth that leads and guides our life, that which we should lean upon, depend upon to give us that which we have need of to live a life that is not only pleasing to God, but it is an asset to our society. It is something that will help us, will save us as a people. I'll let you fiddle with that. And so essentially that's what we're talking about. If you could go to the next slide, I want to kind of review where we were 2 weeks ago in talking about what Jesus said concerning truth. He said, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. You may have to click it a couple times. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, Jesus said that knowing truth is the prerequisite for freedom. So in other words, in order for you and I to truly experience freedom, there has to be clarity concerning what truth is. We have to understand. We have to know. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the truth that we're talking about saving is not a truth that is relative to man's opinion. It's not a truth that is decided upon by government or society. It is a truth that is an objective truth according to the Word of God. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it's interesting that Jesus, in what he said in John 8, he put knowing truth in front of experiencing freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sad reality of our society is that they think that by their freedoms, or what we talked about 2 weeks ago, it's really not freedom in the sense of what we understand freedom to be. It is the pursuit of autonomy. It is the pursuit of a humanistic nature that I am my own God, and I determine what is right or wrong. There is not an objective truth, if you will, or even if there is one, I do not recognize it as important to me as my own feelings and my own desires. And so we live in a society that goes at it backwards. They believe their freedoms will give them access to a truth. Think about it. Something that is a truth to them. Something that gives them meaning, if you will, or gives them that feeling or gratification or satisfaction or whatever it is in life that they are pursuing. They believe that the freedoms that are afforded or should be afforded to them, based upon society or based upon government or based upon laws, that those freedoms give them access to truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, there's a process, and if you abandon that process, you don't end up with freedom. You end up, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, you end up with chaos. Chaos then reigns. There is no true freedom. We're all bound, if you will. We're bound by one another and their opinion as to what freedom is or should be. So we want to explore this just a little further. I want to take you to Galatians chapter number 5, verses 13 through 15. We'll revisit this verse a couple times. Paul, writing the church of Galatia, says, for brethren, you have not been called to liberty, or rather you have been called to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but to love and to serve one another. Brethren, you've been called to liberty, been called to freedom, only use it not for occasion to the flesh. Don't use it for yourself, but to love and to serve one another. You've been called to freedom. You've been called to liberty. Don't use it for yourself. Don't use it for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use it for self-gratification or to find your own satisfaction in life. Use it rather, but to love and to serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. Now, obviously, we understand the Apostle Paul is writing to a church. He's writing to brothers and sisters in Christ. He's writing to believers. He's letting them know you have freedom. Be careful. Don't use the liberty that you have as an occasion to the flesh. Don't use it for yourself. Don't use it for your own pursuits and your own aspirations, but rather use the liberty, rather use the freedom to love and to serve one another. Because all the law can be fulfilled in this one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then he says this. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. So let's ask some questions concerning this passage. Let's ask some honest questions in relation to the verses of Scripture we just read. According to the Bible, freedom is for what? What is freedom for? Freedom is liberty. What is it for? According to the Bible, what we just read? To love and to serve one another, right? According to the Bible, that's what freedom is for us to love and to serve one another, okay? Would not the greatest freedom of all come from loving others as ourselves? It would be a virtual utopia if we all treated each other as we would want to be treated. Would it not? Would that not afford on a societal level, on a social level, on a worldwide level, would that not facilitate true freedom? If we all loved one another and served one another as we would want to serve ourselves, be served ourselves. Freedom is used for self or serving self instead of others. What is the result? According to the Word of God, if we use freedom for an occasion to the flesh, if we use the liberty that we have as an occasion for self-gratification, as an occasion for autonomy or pursuing my own desires, my own wants, my own aspirations, what happens as a result of that? It says it in verse 15. What happens? We bite and devour one another. Now think about this. He's saying this to a church, to a body of believers, but it is also applicable to society as a whole. When as a society, we use a freedom or we use liberty for our own sake or for our own gratification or for our own desires, what happens as a result? We bite and devour one another. We essentially consume ourselves. We become a society of cannibals. Now, I'm not talking about in the literal sense where we eat one another. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is that we bite and devour one another. And when that truly happens, it is chaos. Let's go a little further. Let's define freedom. Let's see what this, if we're going to talk about freedom, and we're going to talk about this liberty that we should have and that we should exercise in regard to one another, using it as occasion not to the flesh, but to love and to serve one another. So let's define what this freedom is. How does this freedom work? Well, regard to freedom, there is both negative and positive freedom. You got to pay close attention here. Because both are necessary. And both are essential for true freedom. However, if it's out of balance, if you get too much of one, it's like a symbiotic relationship. It's gotta dwell together. It's like faith and works. They live together or they die alone. And what happens is if you get too much negative freedom, it bites and devours positive freedom. Now, stay with me. I'm going to show you. Negative freedom is freedom from interference and constraint. So you think of negative freedom, it is this. It is freedom from. The negative form of freedom is freedom from. Freedom from interference, freedom from restraint, freedom from restraint. That's in our day and age, in our world, this is the most celebrated facet of freedom. This is what they are pursuing. But the problem is, when this gets uncontrolled, when this gets to a level where you have so much negative freedom and it is pursued above all else, what happens is it begins to consume positive freedom. Positive freedom is freedom for. Freedom for acting in the interest of the greater ideal. In other words, freedom for acting in the greater good. Freedom that thinks not of myself, but freedom that thinks of society as a whole. With me? That's positive freedom. That's the freedom that really liberates. Now, it is, you have to understand, there has to be an element of negative freedom. So let's talk about negative freedom. Let's look at what negative freedom is and why we must have it, why it's got to be a part of the equation. You have to have freedom from tyranny. You have to have freedom from some level of restraint. You have to have the freedom to explore, if you will. You have to have the freedom to put your finger into the fire and feel the burn. You have to have that kind of freedom. While important in regard to tyranny via unnecessary restraints, an interference for acting in the interest of the greater ideal, society has elevated its importance to an uncontrolled, damaging level. Freedom from any kind of constraint. Freedom from, let me just tell you how this works. When you get freedom from morality, when you don't regard sexual intimacy within the bounds of the Word of God, within the bounds of truth, and you can do anything with anybody. What you don't understand is that negative freedom, that freedom from any responsibility or any attachment to morality, that freedom, that negative freedom from those constraints, guess what it produces? It produces bondage in the form of disease. It produces bondage in the form of callous relationships. It produces bondage in objectifying the other party. It produces bondage in seeing people as just flesh. Oh, how we celebrate as a society. We even call the military operations Operation Freedom. We are defending our freedoms. Be careful, because too much of one thing and too much of negative freedom leads to bondage. The bondage that constrains or consumes positive, where the greater good is now abandoned, where what is best for society as a whole is set back. Why? Because I'm pursuing what I want without constraint, without moral obligation to anybody else, without any thought for how it affects you or society as a whole. Elevating freedom from restraint above its necessary function into a sort of narcissistic preoccupation on self, fulfillment of personal desires, places the common good in jeopardy. And you said a mouthful there, Pastor. Think about that statement. Read it again. Elevating freedom from restraint above its necessary function. It has a necessary function. There is a necessary function of negative freedom. We have to have freedom from tyranny. We have to have freedom from interference in exploring and in looking and in. Careful. When you elevate that type of freedom to an uncontrolled, damaging level, guess what? It puts the common good in jeopardy. Boy, are we seeing that in our society right now. We're seeing this uncontrolled, unfettered, this pursuit of freedom, this desire that my desires exceed and excel above anything else or anyone else. My self-gratification, my pursuit of what I want, and even what I want to be. Not concerned how it affects me. I don't have any concern with how my immoral lifestyle will produce in me unhealthy living, which will then, in turn, cause premiums to go up for everybody. Stay with me. Unrestrained negative freedom consumes positive. Seesaw. It's the balance. It's the tipping point. And I fear that we as a society are way too far on the side of pursuing a negative freedom. That's akin to autonomy. That's akin to humanism. That's akin to I am my own God. I make my own rules. There are no boundaries. There are no fetters. There is no restraint. I have freedom from all that. Careful, because that negative freedom will consume positive freedom, and we bite and devour one another. So now it's hard to even have constructive dialogue with opposing parties. Why? You want to know why it is? You want to know why there's such vitriol and such vehement hate, if you will, one side to the other? Because negative freedom reigns. Because this has been pursued above all else. This is heralded as the only facet of freedom. It's just freedom from. Freedom from any kind of restraint. See, that's why people don't want to come to church, because they want to have freedom from all those rules and freedom from all those regulations. They want to have freedom from that. They just want to do what they want to do and live how they want to live. Yeah, I know. That's part of the problem. Because when we think that we can control and that we can self-govern and that we can, based upon our own feelings and our own desires, we can ascertain what is right and what is wrong, we are headed for destruction. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. And when we pursue this negative freedom, and when we herald this as being the epitome of what true freedom is, we are setting ourselves up for failure. And we as a society are here right now. Because this is what's seen as freedom. This is what people shout for. This is what people want. And this is what they want the politicians to provide them. They want freedom from restraint, freedom to live however they want to live and be whoever they want to be. It doesn't matter how absurd it is. It doesn't matter if it even goes objective truth against objective truth that are established. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. We talked about gender distinction. We talked about moral obligation. We talked about all these ways that as a society we are losing our collective mind. This is why. Because we have elevated negative freedom to an unhealthy level, and it is now autonomy. And that's what we celebrate. That's what we push. That's what we propagate. Is that it's biting and it's devouring. We need to get it right at that. We need to understand how important positive freedom is. We need to understand that our focus on negative freedom for so long is causing such confusion, and it's causing calamity in our culture, and it's causing a generation to come up that are so confused and have so many questions. struggling with so many different things. Is it any wonder why people, and please don't look down on me for taking recent events and bringing them. Wonder why you have people who are successful, who have fame, fortune, have everything that most everybody would want or desire when it comes to secular aspirations. Yet, here in the news of late, suicide after suicide. Wonder? They have financial freedom. They have travel freedom. They have money freedom. And they have all types of freedom. Yet, take their own life. We need more positive freedom. Freedom that is truly life-affirming is bound by the moral restraint to act for the benefit of others as well as ourselves. This is the positive freedom. This is freedom for. Not freedom from, it's freedom for. It's freedom for acting on the behalf of the greater good. It's freedom that comes from our Creator. It's inalienable rights that do not come from a government. They do not come from a society. They come from God Himself. And if we pursue these freedoms, freedoms that are for the greater good of all men, there is life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. But we take that to an individual level. We take that negative freedom, that freedom from constraint and restraint and fettered, unfettered desire. That's what the American dream is. No, I'm sorry. The American dream was built upon our founding fathers who had an understanding of true positive freedom. If you think that our founding fathers and some of those great men who established this United States of America were acting for their own personal good, you need to do a little history study. You need to find what happened to many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Many of them wealthy men. Many of them who had scored land and had all this power and prestige, if you will, that were willing to place that on the line. Positive freedom that would have a benefit for all. It astounds me that in our society, we would, under the guise of freedom, he would say, well, we really don't, it's just so non-American. I can't believe that you would make children stand and pledge allegiance to them. I can't believe that you would have them stand up and end with "and liberty and justice for all." Really? Think about what you're saying. Think about, I'm not trying to make this political. I'm just trying to make us understand that as a society, we're losing our collective mind. And it's incumbent upon the church to save truth. It's incumbent upon us to realize that positive freedom is what needs to be pursued. It's freedom for acting with the sacredness of other human beings in mind, valuing as God values, using His ideal as the source of truth. Why? Because it transcends human opinion. Because it's far and above anything we could ever come up with by ourselves. God is greater than the Supreme Court. God is greater than the United States of America. God is greater than our Constitution. Thought I'd get more amens on that one. We need to understand the reason why you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free is because the truth comes from a source that transcends human opinion. Truth comes from a source
that values all life, even that which is still in the womb. This positive freedom must have boundaries governed by a greater source, thereby producing a greater ideal. There's got to be boundaries. There has to be. There has to be rules and regulations. The problem is we're depending on mankind to make those. We've abandoned the Word of God. We've abandoned truth. Under the guise of pursuing freedom. And it doesn't happen, folks. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You don't become free and establish truth. You know truth, and the truth makes you free. Think of a large yard next to a busy road. Would you want fences for freedom to play in the yard? I didn't take myself. I had three kids. 12, 9, and 6. I think we live a little out in the rural area. We lived on it. Next to a busy highway. And we had this backyard with all the stuff for kids to play in. Don't you think that if I was a truly loving father and I wanted my kids to have the true freedom to enjoy the backyard, don't you think I'd put a fence next to that busy highway? Don't you think I'd put something that would protect them from just chasing a ball out there in the middle of the street? Some reason as a society, but you can't do that. Well, I should do that. Don't you understand? If I truly love my children and I want them to have the freedom of enjoying this great big backyard, I have to protect them from the danger. I've got to do my due diligence to place in between them and danger something that protects them, that keeps them enjoying the freedom of the backyard. Our society is saying, no! Pull up the fence post. Take down the fence. Let them run wild. We don't see the absurdity. We don't look at that and think to ourselves, wait a second. Maybe pulling those fences up isn't such a good idea. Maybe destroying what it means to have marriage, maybe that's not such a good idea. You have so many people that want that change. Why do they want that change? Do you think they want that change for the benefit of society as a whole? I'm saying that because you're a religious person. Because you're a church. Because you're a Bible person. No, I'm saying that because I'm coming to understand more about what positive truth is. And positive truth is acting in the benefit for all. And positive truth, by necessity, has to have boundaries. Positive truth is going to be a benefit for all who are playing. There has to be rules. Or else we just all get together and we're going to play this game. Yes, I love games. Let's play games. Let's get together. Let's play games. What are the rules? I don't know. I got my own rules. You got your rules? You got your rules? Let's play. How do you think that's going to work? Well, I don't like your rule. I like my rule. I don't like your rule. Well, I like that rule, but I don't like his rule. I like her rule, but nah, his rule doesn't work out. Let's play. And as a society, we can't understand the futility of that argument. We can't, and that's why as a church, we need to understand there's a reason why this book exists. There's a reason why our Father, who knows, there's a reason why there is a source that transcends human opinion. There's a reason why our Father, who cares about us, says there has to be fences. Otherwise, you run out into the road chasing your own will, chasing your own aspiration, looking for your own gratification. And I got to put a fence up because if I don't, you get hurt. up at him and say, we don't need your fences. His love is established. In his infinite wisdom, he has established them. We think that we can govern better. We who are finite in understanding, we who are limited in even our ability to comprehend, to scratch the surface of who he is and what he knows, point our finger in God's face and say, we got this, God. We don't need you. We don't need your rules. We don't need your regulations. Now, as churchgoers, no, absolutely not. We are living in a society that is increasingly pointing its finger in God's face and saying, we don't need your rules. We don't need your regulations. We don't need your fences. Let us play where we want to play, when we want to play, and how we want to play. And God says, I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to keep. What you don't understand is I'm trying to help you enjoy the freedoms that I have established in this yard. And you want to run into the highway all the time. And you don't understand that I know your will and I know your human nature. And so I put fences up. Back at this passage. Brethren, ye have been called to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but to love and to serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. Remember, he's saying this. This is a letter to the church at Galatia. He's addressing believers. What about you and I? Certainly, an aspect to one another, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We all endeavor to serve Christ together. You know, we talked about 2 weeks ago. Be careful in our approach. To understand the way we go about it. Any of them, they don't comprehend. But frankly, they don't want to understand the difference between negative freedom and positive freedom. They just want to do what they want to do. They don't see, here's the thing, they don't see our attempts to steer them back into the yard, keep them from running across the street, playing Frogger with the cars. They don't see that attempt as loving. See it as you trying to put them in a box. You're trying to cage them and fetter them in pursuit of their happiness and desire. That's why we have to be careful in our approach. We have to understand. We have to do it in a loving way. We have to do it in a way that shows them, oh yeah, there's good freedom. There's a positive freedom. It benefits not only you, but it benefits everybody else. We got to start just looking after our own needs and start looking after the things of others. We've got to start doing like the Bible says. You really believe that living according to the Word of God makes society better? You better believe I do. Time and time again, history has proven that when people bind together, not for their own personal aspirations or their own personal pursuits, but when people come together for the good of all, good happens. Now we wonder why there's such separation. Why when I picked up the USA Today, slid under the door at the hotel yesterday morning, headline on USA Today is Churches Struggle with Racism. Well, why are we letting these things separate? Why are we biting and devouring one? We've become so confused. As a society, we have focused so much and for so long on negative freedom. Freedom from. It has devoured positive freedom. now very few people are in it for the good of all. How awesome it is that God, knowing us, has established the boundaries. He's established what truth is. Why? For freedom, for keeping us from running wildly. I made this illustration. It's awesome. Why cannot we? For some reason, society struggles to see the love of God in the rules of God. Love me, you keep my commandments. Well, I just want to love God without all those rules. And now, quite honestly, I mean, let's just be real. Christianity is starting down that road. Just love God. Don't worry about rules. Don't worry about restrictions. Just love God. Do we not understand that love, by necessity, has rules and guidelines? Love, by its very nature, has to produce positive freedom. And the only way positive freedom comes is through clarity of truth. And the only way of clarity of truth, of establishing the clarity of truth, is providing guidelines. Truth restrains our elevation of negative freedom so that positive freedom can flourish. That's key. Truth restrains following the Word of God. You want to know one of the reasons why it's essential that you and I know the Word of God and follow the Word of God? And if you think it's just about an eternal sense, it certainly is, but that's not all it's about. Following the Word of God, establishing and applying those principles and precepts in my life today, you know what it does? In large part, it restrains me. It keeps me from my human nature of pursuing negative freedom, where I have freedom from. Apostle Paul makes statements like, things are lawful unto me, but not expedient. Things are lawful unto me, but all things are not profitable. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power. What are you saying, Paul? He said, I understand that there's freedom there, but I can't use that freedom for an occasion to the flesh. If I do, the end result is the biting and devouring of one another. What I've got to use that freedom for is what's profitable. What I have to use that freedom for is what expedient. What I have to use that freedom for is what I'm not going to be brought under the power of. Love and to serve one another. So that's why it is for you and I, for this body of believers, for Christians, and I don't use that term loosely, those who endeavor to follow Christ. Jesus said, he that the Son hath made free is free indeed. Talk about the ultimate example. One who lived for the benefit of others. The one who came, manifested himself in flesh, died so that you and I might live. The ultimate example of a greater ideal, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for a friend. I'm saying, Jesus, truth, catch this, truth is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ and the example that he lived. And the example that he lived was an example of absolute positive freedom that was for the benefit of everybody else. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. ultimate example. So you and I, if we're truly going to follow and we're truly going to save truth, we've got to do it in the pursuit of positive freedom. Certainly there has to be an element of negative freedom. Certainly there has to be some freedom from restraint and tyranny. You have the right to freedom from human tyranny, freedom for the greater good, even for those with whom we disagree, because we have objective moral obligations to God, to each other, established in the Word of God. Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That freedom is a positive freedom for all. That freedom is a freedom that benefits everybody. Culture rejects the truth of God favor of overwhelming negative freedom, autonomy. We bite and devour one another with little to no restraint. And consequently, positive freedom is sacrificed on the altar of self-gratification. This is where we are. In closing, you can stand to your feet. Quote from Mary Poplin, former atheist. She said, the paradox was that when I thought I was most free, responsible, and reasonable, I was least. I was a slave to my own desires and to the spirits that drove them. Real freedom is something altogether different. It starts on the inside. As martyrs and the persecuted have testified, we can have real freedom inside of prison. Saving the truth that saves us. Saving the truth creates positive freedom in the world in which we live. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This world does not realize this pursuit of negative freedom that they are caught up in the frenzy of, causing more and more bondage. Now, fighting and devouring, confusion reigns, chaos. Lord, help us. Lord Jesus, your word is so important. Lord, you are the source of truth. Your word leads and guides our life, establishes those things which help form the greater good. Lord, help us to see, help us to apply, help us to read your word, to interact with your word. It's so important that we know what your word says. Lord, that we are led by the Spirit, God, that we are led according to your word, that our steps are ordered therein, God, for your truth transcends all human reason and logic, God, and everything that this world would try to establish as being true, God, would only cause more bondage, and they can't see it. Their eyes are blinded. Help us to be purveyors of a positive truth, people that will stand forth, stand out, and stand fast in an understanding of what is for the greater good of us all. Lord, we're not just presenting these ideas as a political platform, and we're not just trying to echo those who we think have some credibility. Lord, we're trying to go into your word and find those established principles that will guide for all time. Lead us, and we'll lead our families, and as a result, lead our communities, and lead society. We would all truly experience the freedom that comes from knowing truth. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In your precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.